And with support of your loved ones too, it becomes easier. We all have to, whatever you're striving for, it's better with friends.
My name is Lyle, and I asked myself that question, and I pondered it and pondered. Is God's yoke easy? The Word of God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I had to examine the things that I've had to face and I had to do just giving my life to God. Have they all been easy? And I've come to the realization, and I'll tell you why I've come here. I've come to the summation in my life that the actual yoke, the actual doing of the things are hard things sometimes. And they're frightening things. But here's the trick. The promise is always worthwhile. The promise is always worthwhile. Laban tricked Jacob. Jacob fell in love with Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel. He said, Laban was her father. So I want to marry this daughter of yours. But Laban saw that the favor of God was with Jacob. He figured, well, I'm going to get some labor out of him first. I'm going to get some favor. He said, I tell you what, you work for me for 7 years, and you can have her. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in love or been in like or been in whatever. 7 years is a long time when you're on this side of a talk, I got to go to that point. Now, I mean, this is a woman you really like. You're working around. You see her all the time, but you really can't interact with her. You can't be intimate with her. Because she's not your wife, and you're doing the best you can. Was that easy for Jacob? Was it easy? But that was the deal set before him. And he worked that 7 years. And that night, he I guess he had a few drinks, and he was feeling pretty good. They went in to get married, and when he woke up, he was laying with the tangle-eyed gal. Laban had sent Leah in. The other daughter. See, Laban had two daughters. Now, Leah, the Bible say she was kind of tangle-eyed. Now, you can take that for what you want. And she was older than Rachel. And Laban couldn't get rid of this one. So he waited until Jacob, feeling pretty good and in the tent, and he sneaks Leah in there. And back in the old days, when you sleep with a woman, then you're married. Once you know her, now that's your wife. So he woke up the next morning. I guess they didn't see eye to eye. They couldn't. but the thing about it, he realized he had the wrong girl. He goes to Laban and he's upset. That 7 years couldn't have been easy. That 7 years couldn't have been easy. I'm thinking, I never had a dose of that, but that couldn't. Yeah. So Laban said, I tell you what, would it have been fair for me to give my youngest daughter away before my oldest daughter got married? And he says, now you're married to her, so she's yours. This is your baggage. Take her with you. Do as you will. And he said, but I still want Rachel. He said, I tell you what. You work for me another 7 years, you can have Rachel. Was that easy? The Word of God says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Was that easy?
No, that wasn't easy.
But was it worth it? It was worth it to Jacob because he loved Rachel. He loved Rachel. So that yoke was easy and at that point, because at the end, we know the results. He finally got with Rachel and he loved her and how the rest of the story goes. The young man said earlier, sometimes you're facing something and you ask God to help me. See, what it is, God has already delivered us from some things. But we have to learn to walk in our deliverance. Sometimes, Mick, we don't understand that we've been delivered and we think we're still attached. See, being saved isn't always about a feeling. It's about a way of life. I've made a commitment in my heart that I'm going to live this way and I'm going to do these things. And so when things come up against me, what am I going to do? There's an old movie. Anybody ever seen that movie called The Warriors?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good old movie. I used to be old gangbanger back a long time ago, and I love that movie. Oh, man, I love that movie. And my favorite character in that movie was Ajax, the one who got handcuffed to the bench. That was my favorite guy because he was just a ruffian, and I loved that guy in that movie, Now, remember when the guys with the baseball bats were chasing them? They were outnumbered. They didn't have any weapons. These guys had baseball bats, and they were behind him, running in the night. And Ajax is running with, I can't remember the other guy's man's running with him. He looked at Ajax. He said, Ajax. He said, yeah. He said, I can't make it. Ajax said, what? He said, I can't make it. Ajax said, and then Ajax said, are you sure? He said, yeah. He said, you know what Ajax said? He said, good. Because I'm tired of running from these wimps in the first place. See, God is only running because you're running. The very thing you're running from, God has already defeated. And see, when Ajax stopped, he turned around, that guy swung that bat at Ajax, he ducked up under him, caught the hand with the bat, gave him an uppercut and put him on his behind and took the bat from him. Because the battle was already won. The battle was already won. But the one guy just didn't know it. The battle was won. It's got the promise has to come and mean something to you. Now Jesus is our example and our ensemble in this life on how we ought to live. Was his yoke easy? Was it?
Yeah.
He so loved us that he gave his life. But even in doing the obedience and after knowing God, that still wasn't easy for him, because there came a point in the Word where he was in the garden praying, and the Bible says sweat was coming out of his blood, drops of blood, and it says, he said, Lord, I wish that you take this cup from me, because he knew what he had to face. I wish you take this cup from me. But he had a heart because he knew the promise. And in the promise, he said, you know what, Lord? But nevertheless, let thy will be done.
Amen.
So we got to have a nevertheless spirit in us. We're not always setting where we want to be setting right now. I may not be sitting in the suburbs or driving a nice car or have the woman of my desire. I might not have the job I want right now. I may be a lot of things, but God. But God. Somebody asked me the other day, they see me limping, I get out of the car, and when I sit down, it takes the weight off of this hip. And that feels good. But once I stand back up and put that 260 pound back on it, it's like pushing a bone into a fresh wound all over. And so I've got to go, ooh. You know, I got to do that until I get used to that. And somebody said, man, why do you keep going? Somebody asked me, why do you keep going? I've been seeing you at night. I see you here. I see you there. Why do you keep going? And I said, because the terror doesn't stop. The depression doesn't stop. The horrors of addiction doesn't stop. Those things out there that is defeating God's people doesn't stop. So the hope can't stop.
Amen.
So the hope can't stop. The hope's got to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, because I believe the promises of God in my life. And he showed up more and more time in my life. I'm sitting in places today where I never would have thought I'd be, by the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, right now, who's the smallest one? Now, there's my buddy here, right here, June. Now, if she's on a cane just like me, I probably weigh twice as much as she do. But if she was to grab me right now and push me out toward that lane, she just won. Battle over. You know, and I say that for this reason. We look at Jacob. Jacob was tired, Pam. When Jacob went to Peniel, he was tired. He was tired of being where he used to be. He was tired of his life. He was tired of himself. And he went to Peniel. The Bible says he met with an angel that night, and he wrestled with an angel. And they wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. The Bible says they wrestled until daybreak. And the angel got so tired of him, he said, the Bible said he touched his hip and put his hip out of joint. Now, you may not know what that feels like, but it takes me 4 minutes to get up out of a chair sitting in there. So I know what it felt like. I can't imagine me wrestling with June. And having any kind of a chance of winning. But the Bible says Jacob did not let go. In spite of the pain, Jacob wanted the promise. In spite of what he was facing right here, he knew there was something on the other side of this that he had to get to. The Bible said he just held on with that hip out of socket. And he wrestled him, and the angel says, who are you? He said, what do you want? He said, I won't let go until you bless me. See, sometimes you get to a place where your life is such a mess. And the fear that the things you've gone through. And see, I know Some of us have been like me when I was younger. I faced things that were out of my control, things that were harmful to me. And I wasn't put in positions to where I wasn't comfortable and I didn't like it at all. But I was just a child and I wasn't able to get away from some of those things. But you know what I did as a child? I went to a place in my mind to where I didn't feel. I went to a place, Marvin, in my mind to where I didn't feel, so I didn't care. And over the years, that became a safe place to me because I didn't know God. And so when things began to come against me as I got older, I knew where that room was in my mind. And I would go in that room in my mind, and things didn't matter. It became, Katie Barter, no, this is cloak and dagger time, and this means everybody. And that was the life I lived until I heard about this Jesus. I heard about this Jesus. And I know that I was tired of living that way. I was tired of losing everything in my life. I was tired of being lonely. I was tired of being afraid. I was tired of being in despair. I was tired of the misery that was just out there because of the choices I was making. So when it became that point, I didn't want to go back to that room. After I began to let God do some things in my life. And the day that God saved my life, the day that God saved me, I wasn't in a church. I wasn't in a chapel. I was walking down the street. I just broke in a place. And y'all have heard that story. I just broke in a place. But God came to do business with me that day. And I began to let him have his way in my heart. And as he had his way in my heart, he began to close that door. So I had to go to prison after I got saved for the things I had done. I sat in the bullpen that day and cried like a baby. So I didn't cry because I was scared, Chief. So I never got beat up in jail. I've been locked up with some of the guys right there. I never lost a fight in jail. I wasn't what I was afraid of. I was crying because I was tired. I wanted to be something different than I'd always been. But was it easy? I had to go face 4 years in penitentiary. But I went down there, and you hear people say, it's easy to be saved in prison. If you've ever been in prison, you hear that saying all the time. You hear it all the time. It's easy to be saved in prison, but it's not if you're really saved. Because you're by yourself. There aren't many men and women in prison that are saved. Now listen to me. There's a whole lot of men and women that go to church in prison. A whole lot of them. You know, every Sunday, yeah, all the Bible studies, come for the cookies, come for the candies, the solvents used to pass out. but it wasn't easy. That was the hardest 4 years I had done. And I was in camps. I was in IREF, Chain of Lakes. Them aren't prisons, them camps. I've been behind the walls of Michigan City before. I've been in Westfield 3 times. I've been in Miami County. Those are prisons, buddy. But I had an easier time then in prison than I did at these camps because no longer was I of the world. I was in the world, but I wasn't of the world. Is God's yoke easy? And they were calling me a snitch. They were calling me a police. Now, see, listen. If you've never been in prison or you live right all your life, those words don't mean nothing to you. But something about that ignorant mindset in prison, that's like the worst thing you can call somebody. You almost rather get hit in the mouth than somebody call you the police. You rather get hit in the face than somebody to call you a snitch. Now, I'm being called snitches and the police and all this stuff by little guys that I know, because I wasn't hurting then. Now, I know in 30 seconds, I could turn this dude clean upside down. You know what I mean? But what are you going to do? Is his yoke easy? He said a battle was his and not mine. Am I going to get off and put my hands up and let him fight it? There's somebody here going through a thing with one of the COs somewhere we're at, or one of the housemen, or whatever you call it, and you want to hurt this guy or her, the woman. They always in your business. They always bothering you. If I could just catch them in the night in the broom closet, I'd fix them. But I'm telling you, God didn't put them there for you to fix them. God put them there so he can fix you. We have to learn to deal with life on life's terms. We got to learn to buckle up from one to another. Two are stronger than one, and three is a strand not easily broken. Two are stronger than one because two walk together. One can help the other one up, and he falls. Two are stronger than one because how can one keep warm by himself? So what you did, God has sent, he sent the disciples out two at a time. And God will send somebody, a prayer partner. You and him, or you and him, or you and her, begin to pray together. And you begin to walk through this thing. You begin to see things that, You begin to see things as though they were, even though they're not. You know what I mean? You begin to see things in the right way. This guy's calling me the police. He's calling me a snitch. I can whoop this guy. Why is he putting himself in harm's way? So then you begin to understand, this can't be him. You begin to understand there's something behind him, Mick. There's a motive and there's a plan. The word of God said, no weapon formed against me can prosper. Now he said, the Bible says, we are not ignorant to his devices. He said, know the enemy when we see him. So this has got to be a trick. Because this guy here probably ain't want to fight in his whole life. He weighed 145 pounds, soaking wet. I know I can tear him up. Put that African soup bowl on him one time. I'm going to put him out. But you want to live different because you've got to show God that you believe him. You've got to get out of his way. He can't work if you're working. You've got to get out of his way and let him work. Don't always be in tune with your cellmate. Don't always be in tune with your monkey. Don't, for one thing, quit being concerned. Quit being concerned. I knew a guy one time, I was in jail, jumped on another guy because the guy cleaned the cell up and he pointed his shoes to the east. Come on, man. What was that all about? Man, he pointed my shoes to the east. You don't point my shoes to the east. What? I know a guy now, my brother. I pray for my brother. He's older than me. We've been through a lot together. And I pray for him because I love him. He's still caught in addictions. And every time I go get him, I bring him home, he stay with me for a little while. I get him back up a little bit and get him back with a few outfits and get him back and get him into a rehab center. And Mick, I always know he's getting ready to fall because he does the same old thing. He goes and get that prayer rug and go get that little hat. Now, I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. If you want to be a Muslim, hey, look here. Seek your own self, salvation, not according to fear and trembling. I know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But my brother get that little hat, and he get that little rug, and Mick, you know, in places like Salvation Army, a lot of these men just come off the street, they've been out there a while, they're still kind of hungry, malnutrition, and they're trying to get their lives back in order, because I've been there. Now, my brother will wait till mealtime, till dinner time, that he want to lay his rug in the floor in front of the chow hall and pray. People try to step over and get around him. Man, y'all disrespecting me. See, what he's doing, Mick, is trying to sabotage this so they'll put him out so he can get back to what he really wants to do. I said, Bustle, you know what's funny to me? What's that? I said, I see you on the street, you don't got that rug with you. As I see down in the corner, you don't got that rug, but somehow, every time you get back to a place of help, that rug comes back up. It's the back door. Throw away the back door. I'm here to tell you, God's yoke is easy. The promise is worth it. On the other side is worth it. God's not done with me yet, but I don't recognize my life from 15 years ago. I don't even recognize my life. I went to the Chamber of Commerce meeting the other day. I was talking to a man in there, one of the guys assistant to the mayor, another guy there, and we were talking. I said, man, I'm glad I came down here. Somebody invited me. I said, because there's a lot of influential people in here. I'd like to meet some of these people. And you know what the guy told me? He said, Lyle, you're an influential person yourself. And I began to stop and think. I never look at myself that way. Mick, I don't put it like that. And I began to look at the doors God has opened. I began to look at the seats that I do sit in. I began to look at where God has brought me and said, well, you know what? Look at God. The yoke was easy. Because he brought me through so gradually as he brought me out. I didn't recognize the hard parts. I just faced him. I just began to face him. But Jesus, like the story with Naaman, Naaman had leprosy. King of the guard. He was a centurion, a guard of the guard, whatever. He had leprosy. And so he wanted to get it cured. So somebody told him, hey, go talk to Elisha. He said, there's a man named Elisha. He can do this. So he went to Elisha. And Elisha didn't even go out to see him. See, we be thinking there's got to be lightning and bolts and stars and flashes and boom booms and all that. It don't got to be that. Uh-uh. Don't look for that. The miracle's in the small, still voice. Amen. It's in the movement of the moment. Don't look for the big hoorah. Anyway, so he sent Gehazi out to talk to him. And Gehazi went out and told the guy, he said, look, Elisha told me to tell you to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Now, this guy was in charge of people. He was somebody in his world. He said, wait a minute, the Jordan River, that's a filthy river. Why would I want to go do it in the Jordan River? It's filthy, and plus it's a long ways off. He said, I thought the man would surely come out and talk to me. This has got to be a fraud. It's got to be a fake. Because I thought he would surely come out and talk. He don't got enough decency to even come out and talk to me. He said, aren't there other rivers even closer than this in my land that I could go in? And I just know the voice of God began to speak through one of his servants. And he told him, he said, listen, if the man had told you something great to do to save yourself, would you not have gone to do it? And he thought about it. And he went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times. The 7th time he came up, his skin was like a baby skin. The leprosy was gone. Man. If he had went anywhere other than the Jordan River, if you decide you want to quit doing what you're doing and run and go anywhere God has set you, is the outcome going to be the same? How can I trust God to take me somewhere that I've never been? So I have to trust him. He gives you a roadmap. He sends people. He sends people to care about you in your life. He gives you his word and to instructions. He pray with you at night. He'll be with you. So if I'm on a road, I'm doing all these things he's asked me, and I'm on a road, don't you think he knows where I'm headed? Why would I get off the road when I don't yet know where I'm going? If somebody kidnapped me tonight and put me in a car, in the trunk, rolled me around for a couple hours, the car stopped, I'd open the trunk, and I'm standing in the middle of the woods in the dark. They said, not loud, no home. What's the first question you have to ask? Where am I at? Where am I at? You have to know where you're at before you know where you're going. And that's what God is. He's no respecter of person. He will take you there. He'll walk with you. And he'll send people there in the road to help you. Sometimes help doesn't come in the form of help. And I had preachers one time, the help always feel good. Help doesn't always feel good, brother. I'm telling you something. When a shepherd tries to keep a sheep from strolling away so he doesn't get killed, you know what he does? He breaks his leg. That can't feel good, Mick. Never had a broken leg, but goodness, baby. That can't feel good, Marvin. But it saves the life of the sheep. Amen. It saves the life of the sheep. Amen. So God sent me to a work release center. Man, I didn't want to. God put me on. I used to kick and scream when guys put me on. They would put me on that reentry program. I'd come down kicking and screaming. I would tell them, I don't want this. I don't want that. I need this. I sign these papers. They send to you anyway. Man, one day I was at Bedaryville. I'm going to clear it close here. I was at Bedaryville, and they were trying to send me there, and I didn't want to go out and sign papers, so I wasn't going. And they came in on Sunday night, and a paper came to me. And it said, you're supposed to have been there yesterday, or been there Friday. They both took you Friday. I said, man, I'm not going. So they people came in there and got me and took me that Monday, put me in a little van, and they rushed me down to that place. And I made a fool of it. I made a fool of myself, and I made a mockery of the place. I did not get what God had for me. So I had to go back and revisit it. But when I finally began to understand this has to be the way God is sending me, because he said, my sheep know my voice, and only what? My voice will he follow. As I've done everything he told me to do. And as I begin to walk down this road, Lord, this don't look good to me, but I trust you because you told me to get on this road. That's what we have to get. We have to humble ourselves to the point where it don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what you think it is. You got to get to that point that if this is what God said, then this is what God said. We have to, now I'm going to close with this statement. This is the last statement show. Elijah came to Elisha. He seen him plowing the field of his family's home. And Elijah, the prophet, took his mantle off of his shoulders, and he threw it on Elisha. And Elisha stopped to get ready to come with him, and then Elijah told him, oh, what have I done to you? What is this thing I've done, this hard thing I've done? It's a hard thing to leave your family. What is this hard thing I've done? But Elisha had enough wherewithal in his heart to know, Mick, this is God calling me. This is God calling me. But he knew he was a stubborn man. So he knew the only way to stop from coming back was to burn that bridge. The Bible says he took his plow and set it on fire. And then he cooked his cow in the fire. So if I had the title of that sermon, it would be burn that plow and cook that cow. but he did that because he wanted to make sure there was no way I can get back there. Mm-hmm. I burn the things that hold me to that thing there.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank you for listening. Anybody got any questions?
Good job, Lyle.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to you, Lyle. Appreciate you, man.
I got to give it to God. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. But he loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. I get up every morning and go to work. I get up and I limp in there and... My wife tell me, boy, you gotta make that kind of noise. I said, I don't have to if I don't move. I said, baby, you want to eat next week? You want to eat next week, baby? Let me make this noise. I got to get out here and get some money. But I love you, and God's no respecter of person. You just don't even realize the power that God has for some of the men and the women sitting in this room today. You've got no idea who you are yet. Keep walking. He said your blessings will overtake you. God bless you.